Space Podcast.
Weird.
Hey, you, listen to the podcast. Hey, welcome to Weird. This is Craig.
Hey, this is Aaron.
Hey, we're on episode 80 right now.
Episode 80.
You know what? Lots.
And we've had 8 episodes that weren't even counted in this 80, so this is actually episode 88. If you include our bonus bits and our holiday episodes and our Chuck Barris episodes.
But this is 80.
This is officially episode 80. So I'll give you that.
Why are you muddying the waters?
So anyway, we're 20
You're
away.
You're saying 80 plus bonus.
Yeah, we're 20 away from the big 100. We're going to celebrate like it's 1999,
You're
man.
20 away from the big 100.
you
just hit 100.
We're both 50 away from 100.
I'm not 50
we're, if we both
I'm
live,
not.
If we both live to be 100, we're at halftime. No, halftime just ended. We're in the third quarter, my friend.
I don't understand sports metaphors. Stop.
Speaking of sports, how about them Predators?
You
realize
they're bad people.
You realize 2 more wins and we are going to the Stanley Cup. How do you like that?
Okay.
So, anyway,
I want to say something clever, but it's been made pretty apparent in this podcast that I do not understand sports.
You don't, but you understand Stanley Cup.
If I don't know him,
you understand.
Here's the thing.
You know what the Super Bowl is.
It's the one that you put lots of chips in.
Well, the Stanley Cup is the Super
Bowl
on ice.
It's like a cereal bowl.
It's Super Bowl on ice.
Here's the thing. Tomorrow morning, and I will swear in a courtroom.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, if I woke up.
Yes.
And they said, sports have been made illegal. They will never happen. It is illegal to watch or enjoy sport. I would be like, okay, can we go get breakfast now? I just wouldn't care.
No, the world would fall apart.
I'm saying, but as far as I'm concerned, I'd be like, who cares? I just, yeah. That's how little I understand or care about sports.
And that's amazing to me.
Why?
Just because.
It's because I was raised around some relatives that would not shut up about sports.
Yeah.
God love them, they just wouldn't shut up.
I can understand that.
You couldn't go into a room without it being on. You couldn't be using your own TV without them coming over and flipping it on.
Yeah.
You couldn't be, you know, every single thing.
They wore the clothes all the time.
Everything.
Yeah.
And it just, I think it just got me just, that's all I can figure.
Well, I'll give you this. For somebody that hates sports, you've wasted 3 minutes of our podcast talking about it. So
that's a bonus.
We're not here to talk about sports.
Well, you started the whole thing.
All I said was, how about the Predators? I'm proud of our hometown team.
Don't say it if you don't intend on having a conversation about it.
So Ace Podcast, you know, the network we're a big part of.
Yeah.
They're so nice to have us on there too, because we're in there with we got pretty good company in there. You know, we're going to talk about Don't Wake the Kids, I think, next episode.
I wish I knew we were going to have company.
But this episode,
to place up a little bit.
There's a program that's one of the newer shows on Ace Podcast Network.
Confession Radio?
Yes. And he has been at it for like...
He's been an addict?
No, he's not been an addict. I hope. I don't know. I don't know him personally. But he's been at this podcast game since 2009. So he's
back
like...
It's a game again. We're back to sports.
He's like the grandfather of Ace Podcast Network.
So he's older than you.
His name is David Allen.
Okay.
And, you know, he's got this passion to help people.
He's got two first names.
David Allen. Isn't there a David Allen Jones? Am I thinking of somebody else?
We have a friend with a name David Allen.
This isn't him, though.
Or Alan David.
I've got a brother named Alan.
Yeah.
But he spells it.
How is Alan?
David Allen spells his Alan
different.
Can you get
back to talking about Confession Radio?
So what he does is, it's a very unique show. So he engages the audience with all kinds of topics that range from, you know, funny stuff, just light things that happen, all the way to deep and reflective. So if you've got something, first of all, listen to the podcast, Confession Radio.
Can I choose
Radio.
Deep? Reflective?
No, you have to take what he gives.
I have to take deep and reflective.
You're taking what he's given because he's working for a living.
Right.
Okay?
I'd heard that before.
So, anyway, check it out, and then maybe you can participate. You may want to participate. You,
I'm not,
my friend.
I'm not a participator.
You should participate.
I'm not a game. I'm not a team player.
Some of the confessions that you could bring to the show would drive his rating sky high. That's all I'm saying.
What have you heard?
So, have you got top story?
I got it. Top story. New York's Andrew Cuomo loses sleep over ghost in the governor's mansion.
What's this with ghost and governors? Hello, governor.
Hello, governor.
Boo.
Ah. New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo remarked recently that he is sometimes troubled by what could be spirits haunting the 182-year-old governor's mansion in Albany.
Well, first of all,
maybe
I think
he could be guilty feelings.
Yes, I think he's crazy, and maybe these things are all in his mind anyway.
Who knows?
But
during a visit to Harlem, Governor Cuomo stated...
I wonder if he did the shuffle while he was there. He
might have.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's expected of you when you get there or not.
Well, he is governor.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
He makes the rules, right?
Right.
Anyway, during a visit to Harlem, he stated that sometimes he's kept up at night by strange noises, but simply uses the time to read about past governors.
Good grief.
Okay. Okay. Hello, past governor.
That may be what's haunting him. Some past governors.
Maybe.
It is the governor's mansion.
It's a creepy house. I'm a big, tough guy, so I don't get afraid of ghosts.
You sound just like him.
But I'm not enamored with them anyway, so I don't sleep much when I'm in that house because there are a lot of noises going on, and it gives me a chance to read up on past governors and what they've done in New York.
And in the haunted house.
And in the haunted houses. I don't want the ghost telling me what they've been up to. Governor Cuomo isn't the only New York governor to say that there might be something spooky happening in the mansion.
That's right.
Former Governor David Patterson believes that at least one ghost could be haunting the old house. In an interview with the New York Post, Patterson recounted. I was looking at his name. It looks like almost like Patterson.
It does.
Patterson.
But it's Patterson.
Well, I'm not from New York, and I'm going to call him Patterson.
That's it.
He recounted a story about how he heard something smash late one night, but the staff assured him it was just the resident ghost.
Nothing to worry about.
Which some believe to be the mansion's former groundskeeper.
Go back to sleep, Governor. It's just the ghost.
He should call in those kids and their dog.
Yeah, he should call in Confessions Radio and talk about this ghost and
maybe
confess.
I'm thinking they could get those meddling kids and their dog.
Yeah.
Governor Cuomo, it was just old man Jenkins the whole time. Gosh, Goob. Like, wow. Governor Cuomo should be relieved, said Patterson. It's a friendly ghost, like Casper. Also, we're on a first-name basis.
How does he know? How does he know this?
News of the haunting comes only 2 months after Brazilian President Michel Temer moved out of that country's presidential palace. We talked about this.
Yes, we did. We covered it here on the show.
Allegations of it being haunted.
All right, we got another snake story.
Like, wow.
Headline is, North Carolina snake hunter who survived 12 venomous bites is killed. Finally, Craig. Poor guy.
By who?
Allegedly by his wife. A North Carolina man who claimed to be the world's first snake hunter for hire. And the survivor of 12 venomous snake bites met his demise over the weekend in a most unexpected way. Dean Ripa, you know Dean, he's the snake hunter.
Is that Kelly's husband?
Dean Ripa's wife reportedly shot and killed him, said police in Wilmington.
Oh my gosh, I know Wilmington. I've been there plenty of times.
That's a
had a brother lived there.
That's a venomous bite of a different kind.
Wilmington?
No, a gunshot.
Oh, right.
The Wilmington Star reports that Regina Ripa, age 40, shot her 60-year-old husband. Good grief.
That's he had to be put down anyway. That's almost your age.
That's almost your age. Saturday afternoon.
Too late. Sorry, you lost that round.
No, you butted in. I was about to say it. Saturday afternoon in an apartment over the couple's so-called Serpentarium in Wilmington.
It'd be like a lot of snakes, I guess.
He died at the scene. Yeah, because he was a snake hunter.
What is called a snake pit?
It's where the snake hunter lives.
Snapetarium.
He died at the scene, according to media outlets.
It's like the Batcave, the Snapetarium.
Regina Ripa.
I said Snapetarium. That went all Harry Potter.
That is Harry Potter. Regina Ripa is charged with first-degree murder and what investigators say may have been a domestic-related homicide. You think so? If a husband is killed by his wife, I would call that domestic.
But why wouldn't she just set some snakes loose in his bed?
Apparently, he knows how to handle venom.
Maybe.
Because he's had 12 bites. She's being held without bonds. Dean Ripa's biography refers to him as a herpetological wonker kind.
He's a wunderkind. You try that one again.
Nope. Who suffered the
herpetological wunderkind.
That's exactly what I said.
No, you didn't.
Who suffered his first deadly snake bite at age 13. Wouldn't he have died at 13 if he suffered a deadly snake bite?
Yeah, it does say it was a deadly.
Yeah, he was in intensive care for 2 weeks.
He got better.
He's now living in the government's mansion in New York.
Yes, right.
His adventures have taken him to 5 continents and more than 30 countries, and they've sometimes been harrowing adventures. He's been racked by malaria. Good. This guy's got. I hope he's written a book, because he's not going to now.
Clearly, this was a mercy killing.
He's been racked by malaria, schistosomiasis,
easy,
and dysentery. He's been lost in the
I don't know what that second one was, but it looked dangerous to try to read.
I read it okay. He's been lost in Amazonian jungle, stranded in the New Guinea highlands, and held up at gunpoint during military coups in West Africa. And
that's what the kids call it there.
And
Wistaff.
He survived 12 venomous snake bites to date, and a bullet took him out. That's sad.
Oh, well, this next reference doesn't bode well.
Author William S. Burroughs
there you go.
Reportedly described Ripa in his book, The Western Lands.
Guy's not crazy at all.
Really, as someone who could have been a character in a Joseph Conrad novel. You know, I've read both William S. Burroughs and Joseph Conrad, and I must agree, if this snake man is everything that this article says, he does sound like a character. So Ripa earned his living as a snake hunter for hire for zoos, laboratories, and private interests.
Well, we've had a few loose cobras stories.
Yes.
Where was he then?
He may have been in on that. Maybe he captured him. The Serpentarium is a 10,000-square-foot structure that houses 150 animals, including 40 venomous species of snakes, 5 large bays featuring giant constrictors, and 3 habitats housing 3 species of crocodiles. Who's going to take care of all that now, Craig? Not Miss Ripa. She's going to be in the pokey.
In the big house.
Yeah, she's going to be in the old Stony Lonesome for a while now. So Ripa claimed to be the first herpetologist in the world to watch venomous bushmasters mate. That's interesting.
I don't want to watch. What a weirdo. What a weirdo.
He was bitten by them at least 7 times
in
his life.
Wasn't some...
He wasn't
necessarily some uneducated guy that had like a bunch of stupid snakes
he shouldn't have. No, he was a real deal.
But he wasn't very good at it either because he's been bitten 12 times.
Well, that's how he got so good.
I once saw Steve Irwin standing over a rattlesnake.
Yeah, but Steve Irwin, bless his heart.
Steve Irwin was crouched over. He was in America. He was crouched over a rattlesnake. He didn't know it, and the rattlesnake was right under his crotch.
Oh.
Steve got up quietly, carefully. It didn't get bitten.
And that was in here in America?
That was in America.
Did he live here?
Do you think I made that dramatic enough?
Yeah.
No, he was here doing a show. He was doing all the rattlesnakes.
Where'd he live?
He's in Australia.
I was trying.
But he did this thing where he was doing all, he was going across America, the different rattlesnakes, because we have all the most, Australia has one thing that they don't have on us.
What?
We have the nastiest rattlesnakes.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
And
they get big, too.
Is there anything creepier than a den of them?
Oh gosh, no!
Did you see the guy dropped his phone in the den of
rattlesnakes?
Yes,
that's my phone.
Time for a new hockey stick to get it out. Hockey stick. They use that in sports. I knew that part.
There you go. I would leave that phone because you're going to bring it back and it's going to have that snake venom on it. And have you ever smelled?
Or you're going to get it back and the snakes have made a lot of expensive calls, downloaded a bunch of apps.
Have you smelled
that musky
smell. Oh, it's terrible.
Can I get to the next story?
It's frightening.
I want to get to a story about tacos and cocaine.
Okay, go ahead.
Man arrested for cocaine tries to bribe officer with Taco Bell.
Well, that might have worked with
us.
We
had someone, what was the guy that was driving? They pull him over and he showed him a taco for ID or something?
Officer Underhill, I know I was doing 180 and I've got cocaine, but look what else I've got.
I got a taco.
I got a bag of soft tacos there.
You had me at taco. A Pasco man. I like Pasco.
I'm a Pasco man,
Pasco.
But I live in Tennessee.
He was a Pasco man.
That sounds rough.
A Pasco man who allegedly offered to hook up a police officer with food from Taco Bell if he ignored some cocaine baggies wound up in jail instead.
That's not a very good bribe.
Why don't you take him down to the little tortilleria down the street? Take him to a good place.
Or Krispy Kreme. It is anywhere. A cop.
It is true. You know, sir, that is stereotype.
Stereotypical humor is hilarious.
And
you must admit,
it's probably true.
As a white guy that can't dance, I can laugh at stereotypical humor.
No, it's probably true. Officer Joshua Glass stopped a black Honda. Now, that is racist. A black Honda Accord, at 2 a.m. According to 2 a.m., he stopped a black Honda Accord. He stopped the car because it was black.
Yeah, he did.
You know that was what happened.
That's what I've heard.
Thursday.
Hey, black cars matter.
They do. Thursday, near Road 68 and Burden Boulevard for a minor equipment violation, said Pasco police.
Tail light was out.
After the cop smashed it with his nightstick.
I watch enough cops to know that that's their favorite go-to. This fellow's got a tail light out. We're going to pull him over.
All you need to know about law enforcement is what you watch on Cops. They wouldn't put it on TV if it wasn't true.
Cops is very I tell my wife, this is educational television.
You know what I learned from Cops?
What?
Don't run.
Well, yeah. That's stupid.
Don't wave a gun at them.
Yep.
Stop when they say stop.
Yeah.
Don't come out swinging.
I'm going to keep watching Cops. But and this is a side note. This has nothing to do with cocaine or tacos. But we've decided to turn off the news. We're done with news at my house.
It's because most of it, no matter, even the more reliable ones, they're going to stretch it to make advertising dollars.
Yeah. And
it's whatever sells.
It's become entertainment.
When they start reporting on snakes wearing top hats, I will start watching.
And taking the bus.
Yeah. Anywho.
Go ahead.
Glass spotted baggies of white powder. Now, again, he probably thought maybe it was
sugar.
Sugar for a donut.
Powdered sugar.
Right. In the center console, which the driver apparently tried to conceal with a cell phone. The driver, Eric X.
That's
Vela.
Not, that's
no,
not his
this
name.
Is, no, his name's Eric X. Vela Arriaga.
What's the X stand for? Xavier? I mean, what else could it stand for? Xylophone? I'm just saying.
X-ray? Maybe he's got superpowers.
Eric X-Ray Vela.
Okay, can I get through
Go
this?
Ahead, I'm sorry.
Eric X. Vela Arriaga, 27 of Pasco, asked, this must be Texas, asked the officer to ignore the baggies in exchange for a trip to Taco Bell.
Hey.
He didn't do. He must not have done the Ben Kenobi hand wave.
Yes.
These aren't the baggies you thought you saw. These are not baggies full
hey,
of...
Hey, officer, I tell you what, you don't see that bag, right? I get you some taco.
I get you taco. Okay, you know what?
Stereotypical humor.
No, but it doesn't say what the guy... Anything about the guy.
Well,
you're
assuming... His last name is Arriaga.
Okay, you got me on that one.
Yeah.
The officer declined, and Arriaga was booked into the Franklin County Jail on an investigative hold for possessing cocaine. He was later released. The car was impounded to be searched later. During the search, officers seized several bags of cocaine of various sizes. The granules were different sizes?
Yeah, for different sized nostrils.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very intelligent.
I learned that at my new job.
Wow, that's really neat. And some marijuana. The Franklin County prosecutors are reviewing the case for potential charges, police officer said.
You think there were any dabs? In the car?
Dabs. We talked about dabs before.
We did. I know about dabs now. Here's a headline, Craig. Man paid $2.
Is that what you say now?
Yeah. No, I say whatever I want to say because this is our podcast. Headline is, man paid for a $2 tea with a fake $100
bill. Man read headline with...
Man paid for $2 worth of tea with a fake $100 bill. And this story is not that
weird.
Why
wouldn't you pay for a $100 bill?
I guess he knew it was fake.
With a fake $2 bill.
Because he wanted 98 real dollars.
Oh.
There you go. But the only reason I included this story is because it's related to a story we covered earlier. So here we go. This comes to us from Rock Hill. Police say they are investigating.
Don't go back to Rock Hill.
Police say they are investigating after an unknown male.
Well they knew who he was.
Absolutely. Reportedly paid.
It says on the next thing who he was.
Reportedly paid for a $2.17 glass of tea with a fake $100 bill.
Double bill.
Earlier this month at Showmars restaurant.
Oh, Showmars. Pizza and fun.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that was a different place.
Rock Hill police responded May the 3rd to Showmars restaurant to meet with a district manager who told officers that someone used fake money to pay for food at the Showmars. The district manager told police that a female employee cashed out the customer without checking to see if the bill was counterfeit. You know what? Retail 101. If you get anything over a 20, you check it.
Make them a little magic ink pen they
that's
give
just,
you. The little
that's
marker.
Basic.
They got the little marker. You
yeah.
mark it, and
okay.
if it burst into flames, it's fake.
Next paragraph. According to police,
that's how it works, right?
The manager said that the employee failed to use the UV lights to read the bill's
oh.
watermark. And
they've taken it up a notch. They've got UV.
Yeah, and listen to this. It failed to acknowledge the for motion pictures only.
Oh, we know about that.
Line clearly written across
well,
the top of the fake bill.
That is not his fault. He probably got it out of the bank machine.
He may have.
Yes.
And I thought about that too. Or she may have thought they were filming a movie. Either way,
somebody's off the hook.
That's
really bad. So from now on, if I want to use the excuse someone's filming a movie, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. No. Well, if you got something that says for motion picture use, you can. The manager told police the
employee... Wouldn't they have told her if they were filming a movie?
Maybe she thought it was a surprise. It was a surprise. The manager told police that the employee who made the transaction was not supposed to be on the register that night, so she was mad about being there. The employee gave the suspect $97.83 in change, as well as the tea, the report states. So that motion picture money, something that I've never heard of before, has caused a lot of issues and
right.
has given us a lot of material.
Well, conveniently, they were unable to locate a video of the incident.
That is how convenient, because they were filming a movie. After
you know,
all.
So another thing that people do, and this caught me when I was like a teenager working in a place. someone comes through, and the reason why you always put the bill they give you on the on top of the
yeah, so they don't say I gave you a 50.
They say I gave you a 50,
yeah,
and it's like, no, you gave me a 20, and somebody came through and said, hey, I gave you a 20, and we gave them the cat, we, and then you come up short later.
Absolutely.
Somebody has to die.
Heads roll.
Somebody has to die.
Heads will roll. Now, there should be, going on to this next story, there should be a comma after before that last word, so just a heads up.
Oh, no, yeah. See, you don't tell me that, because, okay, I'm going to read it the way I thought it was supposed to
okay,
be.
Okay, go ahead.
Middle schooler arrested for burping appeals.
I am Bill.
That's pretty good. I can't do that. Middle schooler arrested for burping, comma, appeals.
Yes.
A case about school discipline might be heading to the Supreme Court because, of course, they need really important things like this to waste their time. But the court's newest justice would likely recuse himself from the recuse.
That's a good word.
Himself from,
you know,
the case.
if you swap the C and the S, it'd be rescue.
He needs to rescue himself from the case, probably. So Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah, Gorsuch.
Gorsuch.
Our new Supreme Court,
yeah,
justice.
Well, we call him Neely back,
yeah,
in the day,
yeah,
back in the day.
I call him old man Gorsuch boy.
You probably do. He wrote a cutting dissent after a dissent.
Yes, he's dissentful.
No, he dissented. What? He was dissented. He had a bad smell about him.
Now you can't smell him at all.
Man, right. When the case came before his court and his appellate, what's an appellate court?
And the appellate
appeal?
Court, yeah, it's where you go to.
You get pellets.
or BBs, or depending BBs. On the day.
And finding out exactly how cultured the two dudes are, you listen to this podcast weekly to find out what they don't know about the world.
No, the appellate court. If I was going to appeal.
I got that part. I just, that the words don't always. It's almost like when they sat down and they said, we need to make something for the appeals court. Why don't we just call it appeals court? No, let's call it something crazier.
Yeah.
Appellate. I don't know.
Or it could be a pallet.
A pallet.
It's the cheap court. It's made out of that cheap pallet wood.
You know, we've got to write all this down because we've got to research this.
We've got ideas.
Anyway, his words are now being used by the plaintiff's lawyer. In 2011, a seventh grader known as FM, because he was in stereo. No, he was known as FM because he never gave any of the adult static at all.
That's even better.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm playing all week.
Thank you, Steely Dan.
Go back to Burroughs again. Was interrupting his gym class with fake burps. The antics were amusing to his classmates.
Well, of course they
and
were.
And his teacher was struggling to maintain control of the class. She called for a backup in the form of a police officer assigned at the school.
Are you telling me this teacher called the cops?
This kid can't handle a burping kid. This teacher doesn't need to be.
Absolutely.
According to the court documents published by the Washington Post, because, again, they have nothing real to write, Officer Arthur Acosta.
Oh, he's a kidnapper.
Arrived on the scene and asked FM to come with him. The boy complied. Then Officer Acosta informed FM that he would be arresting him for the disruptions. FM was handcuffed and taken to a juvenile defension. What's a defension center?
That's where you go to be defended.
Detention center, where he spent about an hour. He also received a one-day suspension from school following the incident.
Okay,
I'm kind of questioning, do you arrest a kid without his parents present?
Do you arrest a kid for burping? I mean, even if you're doing it on purpose.
Nope.
You and I, in our high school, we would clown around and we would cause laughter. But I also got paddled and I knew when to quit. And we had teachers that we respected. I think that's a big difference in this story.
Maybe, but either way, they're still kids.
Did you ever get paddled by Coach Langford?
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, don't you know.
I still feel that sometimes. I wake up in the night and go, oh!
Oh, yeah. Whew. Got it once, you know.
Yeah, that's all it took with Coach Langford.
Feel good, you know. Oh, lit me up, I should.
Man.
FM's mother referred to in court documents as AM.
Oh,
what
no!
The heck?
We've got a radio family.
we got the whole spectrum.
Yeah. FM's brother is named Sirius.
And they couldn't get him to pay attention either.
They've got a sister.
His brother was Yahoo Sirius. What? Well, that goes kind of back and to the left somewhere. Nobody's
wherever
gonna
it goes, nobody
it's
cares.
It's going to go back in a corner somewhere. Nobody, yeah, knows what I was talking about. Filed a lawsuit against two school officials and the police officer, alleging that her son's civil rights were violated. Of course, they always go to civil rights.
Well, you know what? I kind of agree with
them.
I'm
not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying it always goes. That's the first one. Civil rights were violated by the arrest and the use of handcuffs.
Yeah. This kid. He had a rough day.
The complaint said the defendants should have known that burping was not a crime and that no force was necessary in assisting with the arrest.
So let's go back to Neil Gorsuch, because that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, this is ridiculous. How this got to our court, Nobody knows.
Right.
But it's gone. We're not
done.
It's done here.
It's a stupid
case. He said, case closed.
Case closed. Go to the next one.
The next one is Athens man headline. Here's your headline, Craig. I'm going to start saying that now. Here's your headline, Craig. Athens man arrested for second time in 3 months for a pork chop incident.
Mm.
Hell yeah. How often do people get arrested for pork chop incidents? It's probably rare.
It's a good day to be a
Gentile.
It's a good day to be a Gentile.
This guy, about every 6 weeks was arrested. So anyway, Athens, Georgia. An Athens man was arrested for a second time in 3 months for incidents involving family violence and pork chops.
Please tell me he threw one.
According to the Athens Clark County Police Department, Terry Ball, age 29, was...
I read ahead. Go ahead.
It was arrested. I thought you found something very funny in the man's name.
The next paragraph.
Was arrested Wednesday for violations of his family violence bond order, according to police. The order stemmed from an arrest in February where Ball was arrested for assaulting his mother with a pork chop.
Look out, Ma! He's got a pork chop!
On Wednesday, police received a call from Ball's mother saying that he was trying to fight everyone in the house, according to the police report. When officers arrived, they say Ball claims that he was upset.
Was he wielding it like a jawbone of an ass? Is he going biblical on him?
He was upset with his family that his family ate his pork chop.
Oh, no.
And now he'd have to eat ramen noodles.
He didn't say ramen noodles.
Well, that's what he's
going to
have. You know that's what he's going to have.
There's a lot of noodles out there.
If he's that upset about somebody eating his pork chop, I want to know who ate his pork chop. Because you and I both grew up with older brothers, and I know I could count 100 times my brother said.
Older brothers? We both have kids. You go back and there's nothing left.
My kids don't touch my food. My older brother would say, hey, look over there. Oh, look, cars or something. And I'd turn around. My corn dog would be gone.
I don't believe Alan. I don't believe that Alan would do that.
He's everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
In the incident in February,
pork chop breath.
Ball was arrested for simple battery and charged with probation violation from a prior case. According to the police, Ball was eating a pork chop at his home on Simmons Street.
Why do I think of Uncle Rico on the front porch eating the steak?
Hey, watch this. I love that scene.
I love that whole movie.
So police were called to his home about 7:30, and then he got upset with his 60-year-old mother, police said. After throwing the piece of meat, Ball got up, pushed his mother.
10 years older than you.
He headbutted her. Police said.
Are you kidding me?
No, this guy's he's pork chop crazy.
Maybe the pork chop wasn't cooked well enough.
I don't know, but
maybe he had like trichinosis.
If I'm his family,
like
no more pork chops.
Taking over.
No more pork chops.
You, sir, are grounded from pork chops
and barbecue. No pork at all.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm glad you have this headline because I can't say that word.
Ventriloquist.
Yeah.
Quizzed by police over remarks his dummy made to a woman.
That headline alone is hilarious.
You know what's really funny about this is I'm reading this and you're the size of a ventriloquist dummy.
No, I am not.
Hi, everybody. I'm Aaron. Hi.
I'm doing my finger like the kid from Shining.
Red Rum.
Hi, Red Rum. Red Rum.
Fundraiser David Sampson said police in Warwickshire, this has got to be in England, right?
Yeah.
Quizzed him for about an hour about his puppet, Griswold the Superdog.
Griswold.
Mr. Sampson insists.
Griswold's a dirty old dog.
He's like Triumph or something. Mr. Sampson insists the alleged incident could not have taken place because his dummy doesn't talk.
My dummy does.
He could not have made the lewd remarks.
He's talking right now.
Mr. Sampson also denied making any rude remarks himself during the reported incident outside the Bull's Head Pub in Brinklow while promoting a show taking place on Valentine's Day.
I don't think this story's true. What kind of police department?
You're supposed to check all these out.
I did, but what kind of police? This came from a reliable source. What kind of police department's going to question a dummy? Was Mr.
Sampson? He was probably insisting that they talk. You know, I don't know. Anyway, he said, I was distributing leaflets. She claimed Griswold gave her a load of verbal abuse and then hid.
Get a load of this. Here's a. This is. Okay, first of all, if this story's true, that's the smallest ventriloquist dummy I've ever heard.
Okay, we're going to keep this going. I'm going to try to say this again. I'm going to try to make sense of this sentence without losing the family friendly seal.
Go ahead.
He said, I was distributing leaflets. She claimed Griswold. Is that the doll?
That's the doll,
okay.
Yeah.
Gave her a load of verbal abuse and then hid away in her trousers.
In his trousers.
In his trousers.
Yeah, Mr. Sampson's. He put him in his pocket is what happened.
Okay. And said, something very vulgar. But Griswold, he says Griswold cannot fit inside of his trousers. It never happened. So basically,
he's got a pretty good argument then. If that's what she says,
you need to know without putting much thought behind this is he's claiming he stuffed the ventriloquist dummy into his trousers, and he's now using the counter argument that that's impossible.
Yeah,
because that was the key to the next statement he made, which we are not saying
exactly.
Okay,
and so she said that, and he's like, look, that's impossible.
Okay, so. He added,
which is a good argument. This case is not going to make it to Neil Gorsuch.
No. She claims Griswold gave her a load of lewd words.
Hey, lady, here's a load of lewd words. Take a load of this.
Whenever he's appeared, he's always under the vet.
Oh, I see. So when he does his act, his dog is sick. So it's like he can't talk. I'm going to start a ventriloquism act.
It's a dog. That's right.
Yeah. It's a super dog.
Whenever he's appeared, he's always under the vet. He's lost his bark. He doesn't speak. He's like sooty.
I don't know who sooty is.
My dummy can't speak.
This is the worst ventriloquist ever. This is the most confusing story.
Okay, so we'll unpack it in a minute. Ask if he'd made any rude comments himself. He said, I didn't. I was absolutely stunned at the language she said was used. Mr. Sampson insists the allegations against him are motivated by a personal grudge.
Uh-oh.
He said two police officers...
She's got a bone to pick with him.
Wait. Thank you. He said, two police officers came to see me Saturday morning and took my statement about the meeting in the street. Then I had an email saying they would like me to come to the station and make a recorded interview. I said I didn't want to do that. Then the PC came around the following day. Why would a personal computer come over? And said, if you don't make the recorded interview voluntarily, you will have to be arrested and taken down to the police station.
He said, that changes everything, mate. Oh, you know, he's not Australian.
No. He added, at the station, I just said I hadn't done anything. I thought, I'm not going to take Griswold with me. I'd already spoken to the PC and pointed out to it that I like Macintosh better.
That's not what it says.
I already spoken to the PC and pointed out Griswold could not physically get into my trousers. Mr. Sampson says he has been left in the dark and has... Mr. Sampson says he doesn't know what's going on.
He has no idea what's going on.
Okay, so we're going to go real quick because this story's going on way too long. Basically, you got Griswold the Superdog, who's a ventriloquist dummy.
Or a doll. Or a stuffed animal or something.
A lady is accusing that he made inappropriate comments to her, but he stuffed the dog down in his trousers, made inappropriate comments.
Yeah.
And then he's saying that's impossible because Griswold is too big of a puppet. He's not going to go into my trousers. That's not going to work. And so...
And the dog doesn't talk.
And the dog doesn't talk. But he's saying... Either he got lucky that she claimed the trousers thing and that got him a way out of it.
Yeah.
Or they're all just crazy.
And she's a lover spurned or something.
Something's happened.
Yeah.
Or they broke up and she was supposed to get Griswold the Superdog in the settlement.
Or, yes. And he's, or she got, you know, partial visitation.
Or we're making all this up. We have no idea what happened. I would like to apologize to everyone for the story we just reported.
Oh, I thought it was a fantastic story.
Because it probably should have come with a header, please take some ibuprofen before listening.
Well, I'm going to submit that story to an awards program of some sort because I think it was golden.
It was pretty good.
All right, this next headline, it has naked in it, so I had to print it out. So half naked.
Okay.
Half naked. You know, we cover a lot of naked people on Two Middle-Aged Dudes.
We need to be covering naked people. They don't need to be running around the streets.
Half naked driver crashes car into a store to get beer.
Why was he only half naked?
Well, let's find out. Police in suburban Cleveland say a half-naked man intentionally crashed his car into a closed convenience store to get beer, injuring himself and a store employee. The store was closed. What was the employee doing there, I wonder? Rocky River Police
inventory
say the 45-year-old driver
juggling.
He was wearing nothing from the waist down when he crashed through the store wall early Sunday and told the worker, you know, he needed beer.
Yeah, I need beer.
Hate to crash the party, but I'm out of beer. Police say the man barricaded himself in a beer cooler. Oh, and he's half naked. He's going to catch cold.
Yeah, he told the police what?
He told the police to shoot him. But they subdued him with a stun gun and
said, "Why wouldn't you?" Okay, because I worked in a convenience store, and the walk-in cooler was awesome. You had to go back in there and you had to restock it.
Sure.
There's something about the cold and the you just get, I don't know.
Well, we worked at Dairy Queen, and I remember having to go into the freezer area.
Yeah, no, this is different. This is a walk-in with boxes of beers.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Pull the stuff out. And why wouldn't you just casually walk back there,
yeah,
pop open some beer, and just now when you go into stores, they have the beer caves.
Yes.
So you it's forward-facing. Anybody can see in it.
Yep.
Back then, you go around the back to
exactly
by the bathroom or something. You go into a door.
Yep.
And you could go in there and drink beer, and nobody would ever know it.
Wow.
Unless they were stocking.
Well,
I'm not encouraging that.
Somebody would find out eventually. So the driver was taken to the hospital, as was the store employee who suffered leg and chest injuries. Neither one of them were considered critical.
I guess my point is, why go in half naked, crash through the wall?
Well, they were closed.
Casually,
the door was locked.
Go around back.
He had to go in. He had to get.
But the employee was there.
Well,
knock on the door. Hello, could you open the door for me?
If you don't open the door, I'm going to crash
through. Oh, well, they're in Ohio. Hey, excuse me, buddy. Could you open the door for me?
Police say the worker was fortunate that a deli counter was between him and the car, preventing more serious injuries.
That just kind of pales in comparison to the whole dog in the trousers story.
The dog ventriloquist story tops everything.
That's
today.
That's pretty good.
That should have been top story.
Well, it wasn't.
No, it was not.
Manchester woman arrested after throwing bowl of noodles during an argument.
What's with the food fights today? We had the
What's
pork chops.
What's up in New Hampshire?
We had the pork chops.
Nothing, usually.
Yeah.
A woman was charged with disorderly conduct. Now I'm thinking, with all the food being thrown around, should we have, like, some amazing dish prepared by now?
Oh, yeah. The pork chops
noodles,
and noodles.
Pork chops. A woman is charged with disorderly conduct Tuesday evening after police said she threw noodles at someone during an argument.
You know what would make this story better? Is if these were the noodles that the pork chop guy was about to eat.
You're right.
That would make this story
it would
over
all
the top.
Be cohesive at
yeah,
that point.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupting a lot today. I apologize.
Merrimack police were called to 14 Turnbuckle Lane. I hate the name of that road.
Turnbuckle.
I've never been there and I never want to go. I just don't like the name of it.
Why? Because it deals with wrestling and you hate sports.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, the turnbuckle is in a wrestling game.
Don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, the police were called there at 5:15 p.m. for a report of a verbal argument. Police said 45-year-old Joy Smith of Manchester was visiting the building when she began arguing with another resident, using profanities and making threats towards the person. Eventually, police said she threw a bowl of noodles.
Ramen noodles.
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say
at
that.
At the resident. Smith was arrested by Merrimack police and released on a $1,000 personal bail. She is now scheduled to appear in court. Wow, those 25-cent noodles cost her a lot.
You ain't kidding, man. Headline is, wrong number leads to 7 arrest. Parole office received text offering heroin for sale in Kingman.
Heroin for sale or rent. Come on, Aaron.
Room to let for 50 cents. That's sorry.
That's all you got.
You talk about a wrong number. It seems that Christopher Dean Willman.
Oh no, yeah. not Christopher Dean.
Yeah, old man Willman's boy, 46, accidentally texted personal.
Personnel
from the Arizona Department of Correction Parole with an offer to sell heroin. The ADCP.
Hey, guys, got some, what is it, like Offer Up or something?
I don't know, but the ADCP, I've got all their albums.
Yeah.
Obviously wasn't the intended recipient of the text, and the wrong number led to the arrest of 7 people on drug-related charges Tuesday. The ADCP, man, Back in Black was a great album, contacted the Mojave Area General Narcotics Enforcement Team, which arranged for a deal to purchase the heroin.
Wow.
So is it, do drug, I guess they do use text instead of calling, so it's so convenient.
Sure.
When officers arrived at the home, they found Willman hiding in a shed with his cell phone and the heroin he was allegedly attempting to sell. He was taken into custody on suspicion of possession of
narcotic
drugs. Suspicion, yeah.
At what point does it cross the line from suspicion to...
Well, the next thing he's in trouble for is possession of narcotic drugs and then possession of drug paraphernalia and violating his parole.
You can't say ventriloquist, but you can say paraphernalia.
I can. Detectives determined that Willman sent a text offering the heroin, but apparently sent it to the wrong number. John Dudek, have we had that name before?
You think you'd remember it if we did.
Who owns the Kingman home, reportedly admitted to detectives that he has been selling methamphetamine. Dudek, age 65, was arrested.
So you can say paraphernalia and methamphetamine, but you can't say ventriloquist.
I cannot, yeah.
Say it.
You know what I'm about to say? I think we covered this story earlier. I think this was on an episode or two back. We've had so many phone calls. Police involved.
So we're going to cut this?
No, I'm going to leave it in. But you go ahead and take the next one because it's about police too.
Police in dry Indian state blame rats for drinking 900,000 liters of seized moonshine.
That's a lot of rats.
Well, rats just want to have fun.
Yeah, and they got those tails that look like umbilical cords.
Oh, gross.
They're nasty.
Police in one of India's prohibition states have blamed rats for consuming 900,000 liters of moonshine
just
and other liquor
that.
Seized from locals.
900,000. If you had 450,000 two-liter bottles of Coke, that's how much moonshine they're saying these rats drink. I did the math.
Remind me to tell you a story
of a girl
in a minute.
Who cried a river and drowned the whole world.
The rat thing.
Yeah.
Oh, heck, I'll go ahead and tell you.
Go ahead.
So watching the show, do we talk about this on another episode, the show I watched about weird deaths?
Yes, we have talked about
that. We talked
that,
about
yeah.
that?
Yeah, and
so
I looked it up.
Okay, so this reminds me of where the rats were consuming the moonshine. In this case, the rats were crawling into where they were gonna put the barrels, the booze in.
Leaving like feces.
They'd eaten the poison, gone in. Then when they filled the barrel, it drowned them. Then the guys were out on a hike,
uh-oh,
drank it, the rat body was in there, the poison
strychnine
seeped out, killed every one of them.
Good grief.
Except for the one dude that didn't drink it.
I wish I had that story printed out.
Yeah. Weird.
That is weird.
Weird. The podcast
that's why
that
we're here.
Uplifting stories. To make you feel better about
that's
yourself.
That's not in our headline at all.
That's true. Anyway,
anywho,
that somewhat incredulous claim by police in Patna, capital of eastern Bihar state.
Stop being hard.
Meow, wow, wow. This is my attempt at a sitar. Wow,
wow, it's not bad. Meow, wow, I mean, you had to tell me what it was. But.
I know. So it doesn't count?
It counts.
Followed by local media allegations that the appropriated liquor stored in police storerooms had vanished.
Uh-oh.
That's a magic trick.
Did they drink the bottles, too? Did they drink
Maybe.
The containers?
They may have taken them. Well, they turned them in for the deposit.
Got a lot of cheese.
Policemen guarding the store claim that over the past 13 months of prohibition, rats had nibbled off the metal caps. That's going to be hard on their teeth. And of the seized liquor bottles and guzzled the contents. Okay, so that may be an overstatement.
Guzzled.
So now
yeah.
instead of drinking it, they know that they guzzled.
They had to.
They were so thirsty.
They only had so many rats.
But Senior Police Superintendent Manu Maharaj is skeptical and has initiated an inquiry into the missing liquor.
Skeptical. Hmm.
Get in here, skeptical.
Skeptical.
Which he suspects was either consumed or sold or both by a corrupt force.
I think he's onto something here.
He might be.
Unless they can find some drunk rats.
Or if they can confound something.
Yeah. Confound it, man.
He has also ordered all police personnel manning these stores to be regularly breathalyzed.
Yep.
And if found imbibing?
Yeah.
Imbibing?
Inebriated, we'll say.
We'll say inebriated. They will be prosecuted and dismissed. And an incident similar to one in Bihar.
Stop, Bihar.
Police in New Delhi blamed rats some years ago of drinking gallons of moonshine and creating problems with their drunk and disorderly behavior. I see.
So they're arresting these rats.
So you see rats out there yelling inappropriate things at women.
And acting like
they're ventriloquist
yeah.
dolls. They held the inebriated rats responsible for biting everyone in sight and even seeing off cats deployed to eradicate them. So they're dispatching the cats.
Yes, they're killing the cats that were sent out to kill them.
By fearlessly attacking them frequently.
They're drunk.
Well, they just get the dude with the fife or whatever. They get the guy with the flute. The guy walks through and he...
The Pied Piper?
They follow him.
Yeah.
Hey, get that guy.
Go home, rats.
Hey,
you're
I
drunk.
Bet you get that guy. Officers from the concerned East Delhi police station also condemned these rats. We condemn you. For creating a credibility problem. Rats.
Yeah.
Yeah, we condemn you. You've got a credibility problem.
You're making it look like we drank all this
yeah.
booze.
As they were unable to produce samples of the seized liquor as evidence in court. If we told the judge that liquor was consumed by rats, he would laugh us and hold us in contempt.
Absolutely.
Said one officer, mournfully adding that they were often victims of a frame-up by drunken rodents.
Drunken rodents. Causing.
Write that down. It's a band name.
Drunken rodents would be good.
Yeah.
Okay, other than wrong numbers to police getting people in trouble, we've also had a lot of alligator stories recently. First of all, I'm going to hit this. In Florida, I went berserk. Headline is, girl describes fighting off Florida alligator. And her name is Julie.
It can't be as good as the cat with biting the alligator.
No, that's a good clip. But Juliana Osa, she's 10 years old, and she describes how she escaped the clutches of a 9-foot alligator near Orlando, Florida, where I've been recently.
And I looked in the water and there was a mean 9-foot gator in the water biting my leg.
This brave 10-year-old girl, Juliana Osa, is lucky to be alive today.
Compliments of Entertainment Tonight, I think.
Alligator,
or Weekend,
she
or
sat
something.
In a foot of water at a lake in Orlando.
Just a foot
the
of water.
The alligator grabbed my leg. I tried hitting it to let it release me, but it didn't work.
It's completely alert. The caller's advised that a child's leg was bitten. It's still attached. Rangers are with her.
Get this. She learned exactly what to do during a visit to an alligator park.
I think that's Inside
Gatorland.
Edition.
Gatorland.
I thought of what they taught me at Gatorland. So I put my two fingers up its nostrils. It couldn't breathe, so I had to breathe from its mouth. It opened its mouth, and it let my leg out.
Mining boogers out of his face.
It happened Saturday at Mary Jane Lake, about 26 miles
from Disney
World.
So this is a two dudes public
in just
announcement,
one foot
too.
Of water,
if you're ever attacked by a gator,
the alligator
plug its nose.
Because he was too busy biting my leg and holding on to the sand. He was too busy with that, so he didn't have any other attack. Moves to
attack
take
moves.
He wasn't a good wrestler,
except for the role.
All learn from Juliana's experience.
Go for the ears.
Yep, you want to gouge the ears here, and also the
who's
eyes.
This guy?
Another really big thing is to make a lot of noise. Gators
I'll say
are
you just
of
make
of
a lot of
how
noise.
How do you do it, Dave? You don't have any fingers.
If you're screaming and making as much scene as possible while doing these things, it's a great chance that this alligator is going to say, I'm used to eating things that don't fight back.
They talk?
And
yeah.
Alligators talk in Florida?
Yeah, super alligator.
And is on the mend. Juliana's mom, Monica.
Juliana's mom, Monica.
It's a day at the beach that she will never forget.
I'll say.
Juliana's mom, Monica.
So if you're ever attacked by a gator, as we just learned on Weird, you just plug its nose.
You go mining for boogers up in his snout.
Yes.
Just get those fingers as far as they'll go.
I probably have to use fists because I'm so tiny. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
time
yeah.
to flash check this top 10 list. Wow, that's loud.
I'll fix it.
I just like to say that. Say that about everything. Hey, top 10 most dangerous cities in the world.
Oh, this will be good. These are 10 places we don't need to travel.
We don't want
to
go.
No. Number 10, Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, yeah. That one's a
Cape
horrible.
Cape Town. Wasn't
I
there a
have
movie?
No idea. I'm
there's
just, probably.
Yeah, Cape Town.
I like number 9 because I like to say it. Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, Rio.
Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
They got the big Jesus statue.
Yeah.
It should be safe.
Christ the Redeemer. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
I think that's what it's called.
Number 8.
Giant. A friend of ours was actually took a picture in front of that. It was on Facebook this week.
A pitcher?
A pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Isn't Juarez, Mexico?
Yeah.
Actually, Juarez is supposed to be horrible.
Cudad, Juarez,
Show
Mexico.
That. I don't know. Wait, that's somebody who knows Spanish.
Cudad.
Whatever. Cudad. Cudad.
Cudad.
Juarez, Mexico is supposed to be horrible. Kinshasa?
Yeah, it's Kinshasa.
Kinshasa,
don't go there.
Democratic Republic of Congo.
Ooh, that
doesn't
just sounds
democratic
scary
to me.
Number 6.
Nah, you get the good ones.
Muzaffarabad, Kashmir, Pakistan.
Yeah, Pakistan.
Or Pakistan.
Mogadishu, number 5. Mogadishu, Somalia.
Number 4, Baghdad, Iraq. I think all of Iraq's probably pretty dangerous, but...
Yeah, I guess so. Number 3, Caracas, Venezuela.
Number 2, Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic.
This is awesome. And I know somebody...
You think
from,
so?
I know somebody from here. You go through all these exotic locations, and number 1... Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan is the number one most dangerous city in the entire world.
Think of all the places around the United States. But think about, this was a top 10 list, and everything but one was an exotic location.
That's what I found most interesting.
Number 1, Detroit. And it's most dangerous, really, you know why?
Why?
Because of its water.
Yes. That's one reason, and it's shooters.
And RoboCop taught me everything I need to know about Detroit.
Yes, me too.
Buddy bad place. Buddy bad.
Hey, that wraps up episode 80. I'd like to thank Ace Podcast Network.
I don't want to.
Find us.
Okay, I'll thank them.
Hey, find us on social media. We're out there. We're weird. But you can find us at 2Madam, 2MADAAM.
Which is the old name, which we don't use anymore.
Yeah, 2 middle-aged dudes. Check us out. Thanks for listening.